吗？阿门，阿门，阿门。Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the time that we've had through praise and worship and fellowship with one another. And Lord, now as we just corporately turn to your word, we just pray for ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. We just thank you, Lord, that you have placed your word, your name above everything. Lord, and I pray that we can increase our passion for your word and for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, we live in an age where people, we change, well, I'm saying people, us collectively, we change our minds all the time. People change their minds all the time. Stuart and Mary Bond have moved house again. They've changed their minds again. Hallelujah. It's been a lifestyle. But hallelujah, they tell us this morning, it's the last time. Susan and I were very gracious. We just smiled. We thought, how long have we known this couple? But people keep changing their minds. And God bless you in your new home, by the way. Amen. Amen. I like what Mary called it. She said it was snug. So that's nice. Hallelujah. You know, in years gone by, and the older generation will remember, in years gone by, if you gave your word to somebody concerning something, then your word was good enough. Even the shake on it, that was enough. That was enough. That sealed the deal. Nowadays, even when it's all done legally and lawfully, and there are still companies who hire lawyers to get them out of these legal binding documents. I don't think really there is such a thing nowadays as a legal binding document, because there's sharp guys out there who can get you out of these legal binding documents. Man's word nowadays is pretty much worthless. Back in those days when Joe and I just shook on it, that was it. There was no reneging, there was no going back, that was it. Your word was your bond. Your word was your bond. And that was all it took. Not now. Not now. People change their minds all the time. But here's the good news. God never will. He will never change his mind. Oh. You know, I can't imagine what that must be like maybe for Jacob, for example. Because that's two generations down from me. Is that right? Yep. That's two generations down from me. He's grew up in a world where man's word is nothing. But I do remember when your word was everything. He can't. But I can. John Rowlands, you can. You can remember these times, this generation. You can remember that. When your word was your bond. But it says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. See, the sons of men change their mind all the time. We do. I do. We do it all the time. But listen, we have the unchangeable word from an unchangeable God. That's powerful. Whatever he has spoken to you, it's unchangeable. It's yes and it's amen in and through Jesus Christ. If you believe it. If you believe it. We have a covenant with God. What's a covenant? Have you been learning that at school, John? Have you touched on the covenants yet? Hallelujah. What's a covenant, John? A contract entered into. I'm just repeating this for the tape. A promise. It's a contract entered into. It's a promise. Peter, what's a covenant?
It's a complete binding agreement between two people. It doesn't matter what the other person does.
It's a complete binding agreement between two people, and regardless of what the other person does,
you're still required to uphold your end of it.
You're still required to uphold your end of it. Good students. Well done, Chris and Lisa. Hallelujah. A covenant is that agreement. It is a pledge. It is a treaty. It can be between a king and his kingdom. It can be between partners in business. It can be between a man. You know, it can be between men. I married a young couple yesterday. God bless them. And they really blessed me that they wanted God involved in the ceremony. You know, so that really blessed me. That it's funny how you... People, because I was doing that yesterday, they thought, oh, you must do this all the time down at Gretna. I says, I wouldn't thank you for a wedding at Gretna. I says, no, thank you. But he says, people like you do it. I went, what do you mean, people like me? And they named some names. I went, well, I says, it doesn't matter about these names. I says, to me, Gretna is just a conveyor belt. I says, if you can get it in done in under 7 minutes, then I says, that's the good deal. So the young girl who was the singer, she was the wedding singer. This was a new thing for me. She was the wedding singer. She says, so how long will your service take? I said, I don't know, about 20 minutes, half an hour. Depends how long your songs are. So I threw it all back on her. But I just laughed how people try and put you in a box and say that you're all like this. So we had a really, really good discussion. But what blessed me about that young couple was they wanted God involved in their marriage. As far as I could see, they weren't born again. As far as I could hear, they weren't born again. But you know what? God was there. You know how God was there? Because I was there. Oh, you boastful thing. No, you take God wherever you go. God's been to Stornoway this week through Chris and Lisa. Now, I know that God is in Stornoway through the pastor up there, but they took God with them. Wherever you go, you take God with you. Alison, where do you come from?
West Yorkshire.
Whereabouts?
Wakefield.
But this is a miracle, but God's in Wakefield. Hallelujah. God is wherever you are. That's incredible. I don't know about you, but there are some places that I wish God wasn't where I am. That's a puzzled look, Dorothy. Because there's sometimes I am not who I am meant to be. I'm thinking ungodly thoughts. I don't want God to be there. But he's there. I'm living an ungodly lifestyle. I don't want God to be there. But he's there. That's what I mean, Dorothy. He's there. He's wherever we are. The omnipresence of God. Hallelujah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but it's not the first part we're looking at today, which is very pertinent to Glen Aris. But from 14 through 26, Jeremiah 33, reading from verse 14, God says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." Verse 15, "In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Nor will the priests who are Levites ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices." The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. "If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore." Verse 23, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not noticed that these people are saying, 'The Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose.' So they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. This is what the Lord says. If I have not established my covenant with day and night and the fixed laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant and will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. for I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. God, and you see from this, and we're going to see many scriptures, hopefully today, we're going to see many scriptures that God is the one who made and established the covenant. Me and you didn't make it. He made it. The problem, if I make a covenant, I'm liable to break it. I'm liable to fall short on that covenant promise that I'm making with you. But God is the one who established the covenant, not me. God is the one, the scripture shows us, God is the one who made the covenant, and I'm not strong enough to break it. That's what it says. If you can break what I have established, if you can do away with gravity, with the moon, with the stars, with the sun, if you can do away with that, then my covenant is broken. Of course we can't. His covenant is unbreakable. Regardless of what I do, it's unbreakable. Now that is not license to sin. That is not license to... Listen, it says when we're going to look at Psalm 138, it says, although all is not well with my house, you have established a covenant with me. And Christians are starting to hide behind that verse. Well, all is not well in my house, but God's still gracious and God still loves me. No. Remember in John chapter 8, where this woman has been brought before Jesus with the accusation of adultery. So Jesus is down there on his knees, bended knee, just writing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote in the sand. Theologians, is that what you call them? Theologians have had centuries worth of debates over that. Listen, it doesn't matter what he was writing. That's not important. So just concentrate on what you know rather as what you don't know. There's a good message. So this woman's brought forth. So of course he challenges them, as you all know the story, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And thud, 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 all the stones just start falling out of their hands and falling to the ground. Jesus stands up, looks at the woman and says, who amongst you, where are those who condemn you? She, hallelujah, looks up and all she sees is Jesus because her accusers have gone. Now that's the grace of God. And many people think that's where the story ends. It doesn't end there. Jesus then said to her, go and sin no more. Leave your sinful life. Although all is not well in my house. So am I happy with that? No, I should be angry with that. I know there are things going on in my house that are not right. I know that my ways are not his ways. I know that my thoughts are not his thoughts. But here's what, church, I want them to be. I want all to be well in my house. And when the Holy Spirit is showing me things that are not well, then John needs to fix them, along with the help of the Holy Ghost. John needs to take action. We need to stop hiding. When the Holy Spirit highlights something in your life, like he did with that woman, she did something about it. And I hope and pray she left her life and sin, left that life and sin no more. When God shows me there's sin in my life, I want to leave that and sin no more. We can't hide behind this any longer. When God is addressing immorality, when God is addressing sin in my life, failure in my life, John wants to address that and deal with that. And you know what? I'm going to. It starts right here with me. I'm not looking at your problems. I'm looking right here. I won't say that. Yeah. Praise God that God, as we see through Jeremiah 33, he's the one who is establishing the covenant. Verse 14, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. That's talking about Jesus. Look at verse 17. For this is what the Lord says. David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of the house of Israel. That's talking about Jesus. It foretold him, and then we see him forever reigning and sitting on that throne. Praise God. that God established the covenant. 2 Samuel 23:5, although my house is not so with God, yet he has made an everlasting covenant with me. God's made a covenant with you. He has made an agreement with you. He has made a pact with you that regardless, as Peter says, that like our Peter in Glenaris, Peter, not Peter of the Bible, Peter, for those who are listening to this on tape, that's total confusion, but we know what we're talking about. Hallelujah. I think. Peter said that regardless of my performance, God's not going to break his side of it. Man, that shouldn't give me license to sin. That should want me to stop sinning, to honor this God who's honoring me. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made an everlasting covenant. Listen, ordered in all things and secure. It's secure. It's all ordered and it's secure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire will he not make increase. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 31. If you're taking notes, please, because I've got hundreds of scriptures today. I even said to young Jacob, although it's Hannah, hope you're listening. Are you on the laptop? Are you on the laptop? What? Are you on the laptop? On games on the laptop? Switch it off. That's not what it's for. Listen to the word. Listen to the word. Don't play games. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34, says this. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. Who's making the covenant? God's making the covenant. At that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Hallelujah. So the new covenant is replacing the old covenant. Why? Because the Jews violated the old covenant. That's borne out. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Everything I'm saying today is straight from Scripture. So if you're arguing with anything, you're arguing with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8, let's read from verse 8, says, well, let's read verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Verse 10, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. For they will all know me. That was prophesying about the days in which you're now living. We can all know and have this personal relationship with Jesus through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Doesn't that excite? It really does. Look at Hebrews 10, verses through verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he said, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence or boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. We could read on and read on and read on. But again, Hebrews is affirming and confirming what we read in Jeremiah chapter 33. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 16. Your house and your kingdom will endure. This is God's promise to David. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And there's a similar reference in 2 Chronicles 7:18, 2 Chronicles 21:7. And look at Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Verses 11 and 12 says, the Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. Here's the God who never changes. One of your descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever and ever. In church, Jesus is still sitting on that throne today. He's of the line of David. He is sitting on that throne today. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33:15 was speaking about Jesus, and Jeremiah 33:17, it was fulfilled in Jesus because he is reigning forever. God's covenant with me is based on Jesus, not me. His covenant that I have with him is based on the work of Jesus Christ, not me. Wow. God's word is good all the way through eternity. The covenant, really what I believe is the covenant is all about God and his faithfulness. It's not me. It's all about him and his faithfulness to me, regardless of my performance. That is not license to sin. That is not what the grace message is all about. Even take it in your own marriage. You know, if Sarah is being so loyal and so devoted and so attentive to Andrew's needs, even when he is just a wayward husband and doing his own thing and running after other women, and yet she is still showing complete and utter loyalty to him, he'll eventually wake up and come to his senses and think, man, what a fool I've been. This woman's devoted to me. This woman never denies me. And that's what it is with God. We wake up from our stupor. We wake up from our being dumb. We get out of our flesh and we get out of the lusts of the flesh and we get out of what I want and start to see what he deserves. There are things that are not well with our houses. And I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm pointing the finger right here. Double barrel. This is what I've got to work on. I can't work out. God said, somebody said this morning to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Work out whose salvation? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Man, I know I'm the pastor, I know I'm the overseer and all of these things, but I've got a bad enough job looking after me, never mind you. That's why it's the Holy Ghost in us that does these things. So it's all about God and his faithfulness. His word is conditional upon Jesus Christ. It's all upon Jesus. I've got a covenant with God. Listen, Larry, you've got a covenant with God, and that, Larry, changes everything. It changes everything. You've got a covenant with God, and that changes everything. Oh, hallelujah. God establishes the covenant with you and me. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. All the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. Bet you're glad you got out of this today, Jacob. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 9 says, well, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you. You know, I'm just thinking, the minute you got born again, the minute you gave your life to Christ, the minute that you came from darkness to light, from death to life, he said, I've made a covenant with you through Jesus Christ. I have made a covenant with you, Lisa. I have made a covenant with you, Tommy. He's made that covenant. He's made that promise. He's made that pact. He's made that agreement with you. If Joe had made it, if Margie had made it, if I had made it, man changes his mind all the time. Son of man changes his mind all the time. God never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says he is the same yesterday. We're talking about yesterday. Genesis chapter 9 is yesterday. We're talking about today. And even tomorrow and forever, he will remain the same. There has only truly ever been Mr. One Consistent, and his name is Jesus Christ. We're like that. Man's like that. Son of man. Jesus. Love it. I love that. I said to Noah, he said to Noah, I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. Look at verse 11 and 12. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. Look at verse 15. I will remember my covenant. See how it's always I? This is God speaking all the time. I will, I will, I will. God's establishing this. Even to Noah. Even to you. Even to you. I will. Verse 17. So God, verse 15, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and life and all of the earth. God established it. LGBT, New Age, all they've got is a striped flag. It's just a striped banner. That is not a rainbow. It's a striped flag. It's a striped banner. It was Chris, I think it was, who highlighted to me one time. They've even got a colour missing from it. Is that right, Chris? You said that to me. So when Chris said that, I thought, well, all they've got is not a rainbow. They've just got a striped flag. They've got a striped banner. And I've had a couple of conversations with folks like that who tried to shove that down my throat. I'm saying, it's not a rainbow. It's a striped flag. They get upset. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. No time. You really need for your homework. Just read this whole chapter. But it's... my Bible calls it the covenant of circumcision. But again, it's God establishing the covenant as an everlasting covenant between Abraham and his generations. It's God that is establishing all of these things. You know, but Abraham waited for 25 years. He carried this promise for over 25 years. Nowadays, the Jacob generation, the two generations down, they don't want to wait 25 minutes. Never mind 25 years. Susan often highlights about Caleb, how he waited 45 years. Jacob could hardly wait 25 minutes, never mind 45 minutes. When I say Jacob, I mean his generation. It's not him personally. I know that you can probably wait those 25 and 45 minutes, but that generation is what I refer to. That's the Jacob generation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But this man waited 25 years. And I'm discovering still that God's sufficiency is much greater than my need ever will be. I truly am. In verse 2 of Genesis 17, God is making the covenant with Abraham. In verse 2, he said that he would multiply exceedingly. In verse 6, he said that he would be exceedingly fruitful. That is who God is. His provision is greater than my lack, and his wealth is greater than my poverty. And when you start to see that covenant agreement that you have with him, he will fulfill his word. It will be done to you according to his word and his will. Look at verse 5 of Genesis 17. This is important. No longer will you be called Abram. I don't know what you call him before he was Abraham, but I called him Abram. Not Abam, John Fisher, Abram. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I will make you a father of many nations. So he's moving from the place of being the exalted father to the means the father of many. So he's going from the position of here to there. God is raising him up. God is exalting him. But listen, we like Abraham, we all need that change of identity. God gave him a change of identity. Abraham got born again. Abraham got born again and became Abraham. He had a change of identity. And with a change of identity comes a new way, a change of thinking. And you all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, or at least you all have a knowledge of it, that the old has gone, all things have passed away, all things have been made new. That's that change of identity that me and you had when we got born again. But sadly for most of us, we had the change of identity, but we still had the old mindset. And that's why the Bible teaches us, it makes it very clear to us that we need to renew our minds by the washing of the word. Stop thinking like you were prior to your salvation, prior to your conversion. Stop thinking with that old mindset. It will never appease or work out the things of God. Never. The flesh will never work out or discern the things of the spirit, but you're not a spirit man. You're not just some old creation patched up and made good to look good. You are brand spanking new with a whole new mindset with the mind of Christ in there. If we will just let it go and come out of us. You're brand new. You're not just a patched up job. Listen, you never even brought any of your old qualities with you. That word from 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the same word from Genesis chapter 1 where he created all things brand new. When he created the heavens and the earth, he didn't make it out of something that was already there. He brought something out of nothing. Try telling that to a scientist. Totally confounds them. You're brand new. So stop thinking as you used to think. Stop having these same old mindsets. People, I love the page on Facebook, Old Dumfries. I love it. And I sometimes wish my dad was alive, because my dad died before all this stuff kicked off. And he used to just love teasing us and questioning us. Where will you find Ken Muir Terrace? So we'd rake all around Dumfries maps trying to find Ken Muir Terrace. And then go and see Ken. Where would you find this street and that street? Streets that were long gone in Dumfries. He would quiz us. Where would you find the goat? Who knows where the goat is?
In a field.
The goat's actually maybe 200 or 300 yards from here. You know where Farm Foods is? That used to be a wee lane down there with buildings down by the riverside, with buildings coming up the side onto the old Glasgow Street. No, that's the new Glasgow Street, although it's been there 60 years. That's the new Glasgow Street, but that was the goat down there. Don't ask me how we got the name. If my dad was alive, he'd tell you. But you know, why am I saying this? We have this mindset, we bring these mindsets. I showed Susan a photograph on that very website just the other day. In our time, in our lifetime, where you've got the Lorburn Centre now, well, across from the Lorburn Centre, well, what used to be across the street, you've got Costa and all of these places. Well, that used to be the old, that's the new Southergate development. There used to be an old Southergate buildings down there. And they got demolished maybe, I don't know, early 1970s. But I said to Susan, look at this picture. And in this picture, all you could see was derelict buildings. There were still shops in them. There was derelict buildings. There was wears and tears being sold from these derelict buildings. But they were falling down. And people look at Facebook, Old Dumfries page, self included. And I think back with rose-tinted glasses, the town was so much better then. It was a wonderful old town. And I looked at this photograph and I said to Susan, Look at the picture. They were falling down. The demolition crew just got in before they fell down. And yet people look back and think, ah. Oh. You know, as born-again believers, we're the same. We get saved, we have this brand new creation, but we come in with these old mindsets, and that's what God wants to remove. Is these old mindsets. Our mindsets are full of derelict old buildings. They're not, these buildings, you know what they were, the word they were used in the building industry, they were condemned. You know what condemned means in a building? Unfit for use. That's why they had to demolish them. Man, I wish they would go the full hog and just demolish the whole of the Venel. Have you ever looked at the roof gardens in Dumfries High Street? Have you ever looked above Mountain Warehouse Store? Have you ever truly looked? Because there's Mountain Warehouse, a glamorous looking store, outdoor activity. No such thing as bad weather, just wrong clothing. Then you have the second row of windows. Looks okay. Go to the third set. There's pigeons inside the building. They sit on the window, looking out the building. There's lines of pigeons in the building. Can you imagine the stink? Can you imagine the stink that's in our minds? With minds that are unfit for use, for purpose. We need to renew our minds, church. We've got this. We are brand new creations. Paul said the same. See, he said, I am what I am. But that was the new man he was talking about now in Christ. He wasn't reflecting in the good old days. They weren't good old days. My dad talked about good old days. Good old days, yes, sure, Dad. From 18 to 24, you fought a World War II. Murder, atrocity, and mayhem. Come on, we need to waken up, church. They're not good old days. They were rubbish. They were stinking. They were as of dung. Ah, hallelujah. Man, I'm stirred up. He established a covenant with me. He established it with Noah. He established it with Abraham. He established it with you. We need, church, get rid of that old identity way of thinking. It's not who you... John said 33 years ago he came down here. His mind has been for 33 years being daily renewed. Amen. And so it is for you. For as long as you're walking with Jesus, you are renewing your mind to the things of the kingdom. Although my house is not right, God keeps his word. I want my house to be right. The covenant is established by God's love. It's all about his grace. Listen, Jesus is more interested in me than I have to give. It's not about you or even your ministry or the things that you will do or your one-to-one evangelism. It's not about that. He's more interested in you as an individual than what you will ever give. God's more concerned about my future than he is my past. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Hallelujah. He's more concerned about where I'm going than where I've been. Praise God. The covenant that God makes with me longs to restore me in position, restore me in power, and restore me in possession. These three things is what he is doing all the rest of my life. Hallelujah. He's restoring me in position, my identity in Christ. He's restoring me in power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's restoring me in possession. He's retaking, reclaiming back what the locust has eaten. We could even touch on those, teach on those three things today, but we're not. The temptation is just to, as Chris would say, camp out there for a while. Hallelujah. Look at Numbers chapter 23. Numbers, the 23rd chapter. Praise the Lord. Verses 19 through 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received the command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. Now this was at a time when he had been asked to curse God's people, but he couldn't curse them, he could only bless. And whatever God has chosen to bless, no man can curse. Hello? Whatever God has chosen to bless, in brackets, you, no man can curse you. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. I'm curse-free. I don't care what people might try and tell me has come down my ancestral lineage. You know what happened when Jesus went to the cross? A line was drawn. And Jesus said, no more. I'm free. Now, I have nothing against the deliverance ministry. I've taught deliverance ministry. I sometimes pray deliverance prayers, but I will not go raking back in your past to try and give you an answer to your problems. Jesus drew a line in the sand and said, no more. I'm free from any curse that any man or any individual could put upon me. They could call me to the dogs, and listen, they do. In brackets, even some Christians. It's okay. Look. I have received the command to bless. He has blessed it, and I cannot change it. The devil or any demon of hell cannot change the blessing of God on your life to a curse. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. No devil can stop me. No demon of hell can stop the blessing of God. But you know what stops the blessing of God? Your unbelief. Your unbelief. That can stop the blessing of God from entering for you, from entering into all that God has got for you. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God has placed his name and his word above everything. If I want to have God central in my life, then I need to develop my relationship with him through his word. Psalm 12 verse 6 and 2 Samuel 22, 31 says, the word of the Lord is flawless or perfect. 1 Peter 1, 23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable or corruptible seed, but imperishable or incorruptible through the living and enduring word of God. Oh man, there's too much here to say. This is a two-parter. Hallelujah. It's imperishable. It's incorruptible. What does that mean? Well, this is how the dictionary defines it. Something that is not subject to change or decay or deterioration. Dictionary says incapable of decay. Something that is incapable of suffering. Listen, this really encourages me. This is what imperishable or incorruptible means. Something that is incapable of suffering the effects of wear and tear and age. Now I know when I look in the mirror, I am no longer seeing this youthful, wrinkle-free, beautiful head adorned with hair at 18 years old. I'm looking at a 61-year-old man who's bald and got wrinkles. And he's got hair everywhere except his head. But here's the thing. Too much information, John, I'm sorry. Here's the thing. There's a part of John that is not suffering the effects of wear and tear and age. There's a part of John that is incapable of suffering that way. There is a part of John that is not subject to change or decay. That's my spirit man. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inward,
My mammy used to say, bless her, she used to say, man, when she was reflecting on her younger days, she would say, I've seen the day where she could run 100 metres. I've seen the day, but now it's night. Night time had come. And I love that, and I still love that. But you know what? I often tell you this, but you know, I'm still gymming it 4 or 5 days a week. I'm still footballing it every Friday. And I'm still competing with these guys in their late 20s and 30s. As a man thinks in his heart, if you get to think as this new person, as you get to think as this new creature, as you start to more embrace this covenant that he has made with you, that'll bring years to your life. I see men of my age, like old men. I no longer see men of my age because they're dead. But I chose life. You've chose life. God has made a covenant with you. Although all is not well with my house, you have made a covenant with me. I want you all to stand. Because I don't think I'm the only one in this church today that has issues in their house. I'm not talking about your house with bricks and mortar. I'm talking about your house, your heart, your spirit, your mind. Body, soul, and spirit is what I'm referring to. You know there are things, I know there are things in my life that are not right with God. I know they're not. And I believe that today God is highlighting areas in our life collectively, but also you individually, where things are not right. And you know they're not right. I know for myself they're not right. So Father, we stand before you today, before your throne of grace and mercy, knowing that your word declares that as far as the east is from the west, so far you have removed our transgressions. But Father, we are aware of things we think, of decisions we make, of lives that we lead, that, Lord, they are not in accordance with your word. And Father, like that woman who you showed grace to, the woman who was accused of being caught in adultery, Lord, you didn't condemn her. Nobody condemned her. You even said to her, where are your accusers? They were gone. You said, nobody condemns you, and neither did you. But the instruction you gave her was to leave that lifestyle of sin. So Father, just in this brief moment, we come before you, and Lord, we hear your voice saying, sin no more. Leave that life of sin. So Father, by your Spirit, help us. By your Spirit, lift us up. We thank you that there is no condemnation. But Father, there is instruction to leave that lifestyle, to leave those lifestyle choices. So by your Spirit, Father, help me, help my brothers and sisters, help all who would listen to this message this day, wherever they would be, Lord, to draw closer to you. In doing so, we know that you draw close to us. Lord, we want our houses to be well with Christ. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We just turn away from these things that you're highlighting to us. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, which is abundant. And we thank you, Lord God, as you did with Noah, as you did with Abraham, as you did with David, as you have done with these precious saints today, you have made a covenant with them. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can hug somebody and love on somebody and say hello to somebody.